Hello, I'm John Burns. Welcome to Outside In. We've got a special edition today. I'm going to be reading from a book, The Uncrowned King of Mont Blanc by Peter Foster. And it's the biography of mountaineer Thomas Graham Brown. Reading from that book, it really reminded me of my own sort of first ascent of Mont Blanc. Me and my mate Joe, we had no alpine experience whatsoever, and in a pub, I think, probably in Dungeon Gill, we decided that it might be a good idea to climb Mont Blanc. I don't know where we got that idea from, but we did, possibly due to too much old Peculiar. But so we didn't know how you climbed a mountain like that, or even whether we could climb it. So what we did was we bought a map, because that was what we did. You know, when you climb a mountain, you buy a map of the mountain. And I sort of plotted out what I thought would be a reasonable route. And then we got a train to Chamonix and discovered that you could buy guidebooks to the mountain. This was a revelation to us. We didn't know you could do that. And fortunately for me, the guidebook describes the normal route up Mont Blanc, being the exact route that I'd picked out. And we had no real experience in the Alpine Hills at all, and basically just went for it. And so we managed, by some miracle, to puff our way up the mountain. And I have to say, to be honest, if you've never climbed Mont Blanc, even the normal route, it is incredibly spectacular. Really beautiful views of glaciers, and it has a... It really does have a high altitude feeling about it. Some of the most spectacular climbing I think I've ever done. And one of my most memorable mountain days, even now, even in my very modest mountaineering career. So there you go, that's my memory of Mont Blanc really stands out. And so this book is about one of the pioneers of the area, a man who knew more than probably anybody else, and who... made groundbreaking first assaults of some of the Sentinel Ridge and the Route Major on the Brenva face of Mont Blanc. Was obsessed with it, by all sounds. And a really fascinating guy. And really someone from that time in mountaineering when you could really be a pioneer. But he was climbing pretty hard at the time, I'm guessing. So here's my little excerpt from The Uncrowned King of Mont Blanc. When Graham Brown met his guides at Montenvers at the beginning of July, his priority was to make a third new route on the Brenva face. He had identified an almost direct line from the Brenva glacier to the summit of Mont Blanc de Cormier, taking a rocky rib to a buttress shaped like a hanging pear at about 275 metres high. Above the buttress was another rocky outcrop capped by the wall of ice cliffs that extended across the Brenva face. But the weather was most wretched, and he altered his plans. On 12 of July, they went up to the Gamba Hut, situated in the Innominata Basin, on the south side of Mont Blanc, and he swore to himself that he would remain there until he could leave by the Putre Ridge. It would prove to be third time lucky. On the first attempt, they climbed in hail and mist to the summit of the Aiguille Blanche, from where the colossal scale of the ridge briefly revealed itself. Graham Brown wrote, "When you have climbed some 5,000 feet and have reached a fine and difficult summit, you usually think that the day's work is over. As you come towards this summit, the view in front is largely hidden. When you reach it, you see the great hog's back of the Ecpreflier rising across the valley from the Col de Petre to a height of perhaps 1,000 feet above the col. And that itself is only a step on the way to Mont Blanc de Cormier, which soars to the left another 1,500 feet above. Your fantastic feeling of accomplishment disappears. What you have done becomes merely a measure of what is still to do, and you realise, for the first time in its fullness, the magnificence of the ridge that you have set out to climb." The mist closed in again, and the poor visibility obliged them to abandon the climb and make the hazardous descent from the Col de Putre. Fortunately, the weather was not as severe as that encountered by Smythe in 1927, and they had the benefit of Knubel's knowledge of the lower section. They avoided the Roche Gruber by risking steep ice and rockfall above the couloir, lying between them and the rock buttress leading to the north summit of the Aiguille Blanche. A week later, they returned back in a snowstorm, and a further week elapsed before Graham Brown could record, "Got the damn thing done at last. It was well worth it." Their climb from the Gamba Hut to the summit of Mont Blanc and descent to the Grand Moulet Hut took 17 and a half hours, a highly respectable time even today. Only the fast parties complete the route in a day, and most spend the night en route at the Dame Anglaise bivouac hut. Graham Brown had spent 18 nights in the Gamba Hut. In between attempts, he had occupied himself by making detailed notes of the entries in the hut book and subsisted on a diet of bread, cheese and salami. His guides, who required spiritual sustenance as well, descended to Courmayeur each Sunday to attend Mass. Although his stubbornness was rewarded with success, the prolonged stay induced frustration and eventually argument. Graham Brown recorded that there was a most extraordinary row between Knubel and Graven, carried out in Switcher Dutch. The gist of it, according to Graham Brown's understanding, was that Graven's later explanation was that Knubel felt his skill and judgment were being ignored. Knubel, whose exploits had earned him a place in the front ranks of guides, resented being always placed in the middle of the rope, which certainly would be viewed as insulting. He thought Graven, almost 20 years his junior, was rash, that Graham Brown knew nothing of the mountain conditions and declared the route of the pair suicidal. Graham Brown, sensing criticism, was quick to see it as a manifestation of weakness, and although amity was restored superficially, they continued together for the rest of the remainder of this season. Graham Brown had marked Knubel down as a funk. At Christmas, he sent a belated cheque to him to settle his account for the summer's guiding, and wrote disingenuously, "I shall not be climbing with you again next summer, but I would like you to know how much I enjoyed climbing with you the last 2 years. It is with much regret that I must terminate our brief companionship. Your kindness of heart and your pleasant companionship and the way you looked after my comfort will always be as happy memories as that of the brilliance of your climbing." In his diary he wrote, "Knubel is a nice man, a natural gentleman," but added, "I do wish he had more guts." This was not the first occasion that Graham Brown had fallen out with his guide. Brocklehurst recalled that in 1926, Graham Brown had been laying down the law interminably to their guide, who lost all patience and said, "Herr Professor, you may be a Herr Professor, but you talk like a little girl." Well, that's my little reading from the book The Uncrowned King of Mont Blanc by Peter Foster. I apologise once again for my incompetent pronunciation. To be quite honest, I have a bit of trouble with English most of the time, let alone French and German, you know what I mean? It's tricky. Just to let you know that both of that book is available currently from Vertebrate Publishers, I think with 30% off, and not only do you get that book with 30% off, but if you buy that book, you get a copy of My Father Frank, which is a biography of the explorer Frank Smythe, who had a tremendous career exploring some of the Himalayan giants. I just wish people would climb places that were easy to pronounce. That's all. It's not much to ask, is it? Well, I've been John Burns. I do hope you've enjoyed my little episode, and I'll see you again soon.